I was actually sitting, it was a trip, I was sitting next to the CEO of the Sixers, and we were right beside.
Can I get a TV timeout? This guy, that's not even a humble brag, because this is just the way this man lives his life. He was not in the Sprite Zone. He was not in Jurassic Park. My guy was in Gucci Row, sitting beside the Sixers. David Sanchez is going to a sporting event. He is going to a sporting event.
I'm going in.
Welcome to The Waggle, presented by Sport Clips, the official podcast of the Canadian Football League.
It is The Waggle podcast brought to you by Sport Clips, brought to you us here at the CFL.ca. I'm Donovan Bennett. I'm with David Sanchez, a tanned David Sanchez, a very, very caramel-esque David Sanchez off of vacation. And you're back in the six here in Toronto. And just when you think, what are we going to talk about on the podcast? It's the off season. It's the dog days of the spring. Some CFL news.
Hope you got something to talk about, DJ.
I got something to talk about. Okay. People down the QEW have something to talk about. They're talking about who's going to be calling their plays.
They certainly do.
And what I'm referring to is, you've probably seen this by now on CFL.ca, June Jones, the OC of the Tiger Cats, is the OC of the Tiger Cats no longer. Houston Chronicle reporting that he is going to the XFL. He's going to lead the Houston franchise. And so Tommy Condell, who joined the staff this offseason, will be the OC. And the question is, does it matter, Davis?
Well, yeah, it matters. I mean, you're losing the pretty exciting offensive mind that what June brought to the league, and obviously the chemistry that him and Jeremiah have built, which, remember, Jeremiah's been in this league for 8 years. No one else was able to get that out of Jeremiah. That was something special. The one thing is they had that's one of the places that they had a built-in successor that if you are going to take steps back, it might only be a step and not plural, having Tommy Condell in-house.
Yeah, well, and now the move to make sure that Steinhauer stays in-house and giving him that head job because there was interest in him for the head job elsewhere looks even better because June Jones, I mean, let's be honest, he's 66 years old. Yeah. Whether he stayed in Hamilton this year, he wasn't going to be there for much longer. And so they've got some stability that way. But I do think it matters, and I do think it's because of that relationship with Jeremiah Masoli. Because remember, when June Jones got there and took over an 0-8 team, Jeremiah Masoli was not the expected starter. It was Zach Leros. June Jones saw something in him.
It was Johnny Manziel.
Well, after that, it was Johnny Manziel. In the offseason, it was Johnny Manziel, who June Jones famously said was going to be the best player in the history of the league.
Ever.
Well, maybe he'll be the best player in the history of the XFL. Maybe they can rekindle that relationship.
They said there's no criminal. Nobody that's been charged with criminal activities is allowed to be in the XFL. So unless Vince McMahon is going against his word, Johnny's not allowed to play. He's got criminal charge. He's been charged.
Interesting. Well, I think they'll be able to find a loophole.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Sell some tickets.
I'm sure they will.
Jones has a job, but he did a great job in his time in Hamilton. Taking over a team that was 0-8, then goes 6 wins in the last 10 games, then 8-10 the year after, which was good enough for second in the East before losing to Ottawa. This guy with a wealth of football experience, spent 13 seasons in the NFL, 16 seasons at the NCAA. Wherever he's gone, his offense has put up points. That was the case in Hamilton, and they got a great receiving core. They have a great quarterback that was comfortable with him. It's still relatively early enough before camps break where any differences in terms of offensive philosophy can be ironed out and explained and taught. But I do think this is a disruption because part of the reason when we broke down our team-by-team look after free agency on why we were both high on Hamilton was because June Jones was just going to be able to cook on offense.
Man.
Didn't have to manage the team. He could just call plays, scheme, and let Orlando Steinhauer manage the team. Just cook. And so now Tommy Condell, again, someone who's called plays in the CFL before for multiple franchises, has had success before in the NCAA and in the CFL, has helped calling plays for that franchise before. It's not that he is incapable. It's different. And the one word I would describe Jeremiah Masoli last year was comfortable. He just seemed so calm, cool, collected, comfortable, knew where he was going with the ball, knew where his reads were going to take him. And any disruption to that, I think I'm a little bit concerned about if I'm a Tiger Cat fan.
How about comfortable with the man on the sidelines, too? He was comfortable with his reads, but look how laid back June is. June had complete faith in him, never wavered. Great faith in him. And I think that relationship was huge, too. Personally, when I heard this news, I heard coaches leaving, which is another conversation. I don't really want to see too many more leave, in my personal opinion. But I hear coaches leave, and you know it is what it is. But when I heard the news that June was leaving, I was actually pissed. He was a breath of fresh air for a 70-year-old gentleman. He was a breath of fresh air. I loved talking to him. He was open. He was honest. He was creative. He was great to have around the league, and a guy with no ego. It didn't seem to us on the outside, it didn't seem that he had an ego. He was willing to, for the betterment of the organization, to allow Orlando Steinauer to come out and be the head coach. And that's probably the right move long term, as you mentioned. Anyway, he's somebody that I loved being a part of, having him be a part of the league. The same with Jerry Glanville. I thought they were awesome for the league. And these are guys we're going to miss. I'm going to miss Jerry. I miss June Jones. I'm going to miss Chris Jones. These are some of the characters that drive the league, at least, you know, in my opinion. These are some of the guys I love talking to. I'm all for the consistency and let your game do the talking and all those cliches of boring people. And those are – you can't be somebody you're not. But I think you agree. We do miss guys that are fun to talk to and – give us something to talk about.
Totally. Guys, those guys specifically, Americans from the South, a little bit of twang in that voice, going to be honest with you, don't really care, not going to give you just the football speak or the football talk, going to keep it real 100. So I'm going to miss those guys selfishly as a media member for sure. June Jones, as a lover of expansive offensive football, I'm going to miss him. There's also a player I'm going to miss, and I'm not surprised that he's gone, but I'm going to miss watching him and watching him really dissect the game with his brain, and that's Ricky Ray. And a lot of ink has been spilt about him leaving, and a lot of talk has been talked about him leaving, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on it on this podcast. But I love the fact that, listen, if you put Ricky Ray in the combine right now, he would not do well. But that is the greatest compliment, because he was a reminder during his career that football is chess, not checkers. And he would outthink you, out-scheme you, and he brought a level of acumen to the quarterback position and to the sport in general. And I talked to him after he made it official that he was going to retire. Talked to him on the phone while he was in Sacramento. And he said that he knew he wanted to play, and he knew that he could play and still play at a high level. He didn't know if he could go through an entire season healthy without injury. And even talking through some scenarios, coming through and being a backup and maybe another voice in the room. If a starter goes down, you're one play away. And he wasn't certain that he would be able to get through a season the way it is right now, knowing that he could be one play away from another injury and another rehab. So selfishly, I'm sad to see the guy at 39, 16 seasons in the league, 4 Grey Cups, and leaving a legacy with 2 different franchises in Edmonton and Toronto.
Yep.
That's hard to do. Like, can you think of a guy who, like, when I think of you, and this is just me personally, I think of you as an Alouette. Pinball, obviously, we think of him as an Argo. Gizmo, we think of him as an Eskimo. Even G-Roy, he played for multiple teams, won multiple rings, but he's a BC Lion.
I forgot he played for multiple. I was only thinking about Sask. I forgot about Winnipeg.
Yeah.
You just said that.
So Ricky Ray, when you think about him, depending where you live in this country, you may think of him as an Eskimo or as an Arco, and that's very, very rare.
Yeah, I never thought of it like that. You had to put in some serious, to your point, you had to put in some serious work for fans to remember you that vividly in both uniforms. That's, and you, I can do it right now. I picture him in both, and I picture him making plays and raising Grey Cups in both. Everyone always discusses that he just got it, went out, got it done, and his cool demeanor and all that. And it's the only reason or why that was people are so fond of that as a teammate or as people that watch him is that the success he had, the guy was a baller. In the biggest situations, Ricky was clutch. The toughest route to cover in the CFL and the route that that most people try to avoid getting beat on is the corner route. And nobody threw a better corner route than Ricky Ray. And just like that feathery touch, and he dropped it in the baskets, so to say. And I remember that corner route to Jason Tucker in 2005 against Montreal in the Grey Cup. And he squeezed it between the halfback and the safety, and he put it the only place it could be in a crucial time on the last drive of the game. And he throws that ball the same way. When you watch him throw it, it's the same way he's throwing a pat and go ball in warmups. Like, he's just that cool. And that's the sign of, in any sport, that's the sign of a guy that you know is a cool customer and a clutch gamer. And that's Ricky. He's a beast.
That is a great point, because he threw all his balls like they were easy ups and warm ups.
Yeah.
Like, he's throwing pillows.
Yes.
So it's a catchable, soft ball. And the corner route specifically, it's not just a hard ball to throw. It is the hardest ball for me to catch. Yeah. Running away from the quarterback, looking either straight over the top of your head or over one of your shoulders. But also, the farther you run, the closer you get to the sideline, you're running out of real estate having to catch that as well. In many instances with Tucker, as you mentioned, in the back of the end zone, in the corner of the end zone, it's a tough ball to catch. So making sure that it is a catchable ball is great, because you could have dimes all you want, but if the receiver can't catch them, it doesn't matter. He was so good.
That's an undervalued trait of a quarterback.
Yes.
The catchable ball.
Yeah.
Not from receivers, it's not undervalued.
Yeah.
But I think for us watching.
True. It's true. And the other thing that jumps out to me, and I'm interested to get your perspective on it, because, you know, you played against these offenses and also you've seen Ricky up close when he was working. So in football, we have these things called teaching tapes.
Okay.
And in an offense, you know, when you're installing a new offense to new players, show them a teaching tape of all the plays done perfectly or all the guys who have done it well. Ricky is on teaching tapes of two different offenses.
Yeah.
He's on the teaching tape of the Milanovic, Tressman, West Coast spread offense, and he's on the teaching tape of the offense that, you know, Moss is now using. He used it in Ottawa, using it in Edmonton. That offense that they used in Edmonton, which was much more vertical, down the field, play action pass. The offenses are totally different. He mastered them both, but that just shows you his great acumen. He could give you the play action fake, go over the top, draw that safety in and hit you with a corner route, or go spread the field, make that safety make a decision, and then hit the corner route. Or in the West Coast offense, he could just spread that ball around. And in that offense, the quarterback is always right and use the width of the field, even though he didn't have the strongest arm, had great anticipation, great timing, and great touch to put in those great back shoulder fades, those comebacks, which is the things that he started to do in Toronto. I don't know if I've seen a guy be able to master two different styles so well.
When is it too late? When do you leave the game too early? And Ricky had a great quote, and Matthew Schinetti from TSN posted this quote, and it was asking if Ricky regretted not retiring after the 2017 Grey Cup, because a lot of people thought he would just walk away after that game, me being one of them. And Ricky's comment of if he regretted not walking away after the Grey Cup, he said, "I would rather go through what I did last year that is sit at home thinking, man, I wish I would have played one more year. I felt like I gave everything I have." And that's...
Think about that. He left on a stretcher.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, no regrets.
It's funny because a lot of people say things, then it's, you know, it's just talk. It's lip service a lot of times. But if you really chew into this, I believe it. Hmm. Makes sense. It's hard to tell a guy that's done this his whole life and you believe that you can... You know, you can play longer. You believe, you know, you always, the competitor, the reason why a guy like Ricky is Ricky is because he believes in himself. And so, you know, to ask a guy to walk away when he still thinks he has some game left in him it's tough to do. But I love this because just point blank, no, I don't mind going through this because now I know. You know, I know I gave it everything I got. I know that, you know, I retire and then I think I wish I would have played one more year. I like it. I like that that quote and I believe it. And it's one thing about Ricky Ray. He's genuine. He didn't like to talk a lot, but he's a genuine in what he says. He's genuine. And yeah, congrats to Ricky. Yes. Ricky Ray on an amazing career.
He said to me the best receivers he had in terms of hands were Fred Stamps and Tucker. And he's had a lot of thought. SJ might be in that conversation, but the best defender he went against in his career, the guy that gave him headache after headache.
Oh, gosh, DJ, come on. Why you always got to bring me in the show?
He said you were the runner-up.
Okay.
He said Baron Miles.
Oh, that's legit.
Yeah.
That's legit. Yeah. Baron Miles gave a lot of people headaches.
Yeah. So great
really,
career.
Really, eh?
Yeah. Great career. And you know what's nice is if you look at the quarterback rooms that he's been in, and the guys that he impacted and the guts learned from him, Zach Caleros, who he really respected his tenacity as a competitor, he told me. Trevor Harris, he really respected the fact that they kind of played the game in a similar way. And he was actually really disappointed that he got injured so early last season because he thought if the quarterbacks behind him got a little bit more opportunity to watch him work, they would have had some better success when they had to hit the field. And so he's interested to see how they do this year. But he's going to take a step away from the game this year and spend some time with family. But quarterback coach, quarterback consultant, whatever he wants in terms of
being... Quarterback coach, a lot of people believe that great players, especially the quarterback position, great players don't make great coaches.
Well, and a lot, Magic Johnson.
And a lot of people don't know shit.
Yeah.
I think Ricky would be a good coach.
Well, I think a great...
Talk to Magic Johnson.
The great example would be Dave Dickinson, right? He was a great player, both because of his mental ability and his physical ability, but he was a great play caller, coordinator, and now he's a great coach. A guy who is not yet ready to hang him up, I think will make a great coach, but I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. He's currently is trying to coach up the players in terms of their negotiations off of the field. Yeah. It's a guy who's played 118 career games and said, listen, I'm not ready to hang it up yet. Solomon Illumillion is now moving a little bit farther east, but staying in the west, no longer in BC, is in Saskatchewan. We talked about this a bit last week. Now that it's done in Sask, I actually think I look at their free agency offseason even better now because this is a late acquisition, but it's one that's going to help them on the field because if healthy, he's still someone who can have an impact, and this piggybacks them having a nice draft. Now, the CFL draft is something that helps you 2, 3, 4 years down the road, but it's still not a bad thing that they have some nice pieces that are young. I am really much higher on the Riders after this acquisition.
If Solly's healthy...
Well, that's the if.
He makes a difference. Now, I don't think he gets sideline to sideline like he used to, and that's just the reality. Solly will tell you that he doesn't get sideline to sideline like he used to because it's just that's just how it works when you get up in your 30s. But being... a step slower, a half a step slower. He's probably a full step wiser,
right?
In dissecting how things play out, and with this group, I mean, look around. You know, Parafoy, Butler, Ganey, Marshall, just on the back end here, and Mike Edom. That's a group of athletic guys who all have a little bit of experience, still young, fresh legs. And this is a group of guys that can fly around. And then you know, you got Moncrief and Dyshawn Davis over there from BC, who Solly will already have a relationship with who had a role out there at linebacker for BC and, last year. So it's a fit. That front seven is nasty. And if he's healthy, I think it's a great thing to have a veteran linebacker that people respect, especially when you have a new coordinator.
Yes.
Cause great point. You know, when you have guys don't always believe in a coach until some other veterans sometimes vouch for them or just say, hey, just hold on. Like, if they make a call, a guy makes a call, people might question it. You know, like, well, why are we doing that? Why are we checking to this? You know, we shouldn't do that. People question it because they're not sure. And that could snowball. When you got a guy like Solly in there, hopefully he has enough respect for Jason Chavez. I'm sure he does. And that's why you bring a guy like that in. He'll say, hey, wait a minute. This is the call. This is what we're playing. And here's why we're playing. And just let it play out. And the more guys you have like that on your defense, on any sport, but the more guys you have like that in your defense, the easier it is to adjust and grow together. And you got a couple bad apples who start to question calls. And when you have a young coach, it happens. So to get stability at that position, I think, is just as big as having, you know, the athleticism Solly brings, just as big to have the leadership that he's going to bring.
He's another coach on the field.
Yeah.
And what he does is, as a play caller defensively, you feel confident because if for whatever reason what you called will not work, he'll check you into something that to make sure you're right.
Right.
And offensively, it's a beast to play against because he'll often be calling out your plays and what you're doing depending on down, distance, situation, and set. And people will say, okay, he may have lost more than a step. 2014, when he set the single record for most tackles in a season, was a while ago. True. But let's put some respect on his name. He's had over 100 tackles three seasons. The other two seasons, other than 2014, were 2016 and 2017. So he was hurt, yes, last year. But it wasn't a debilitating injury where you're thinking that's going to hamper him for the rest of his career. Age is something that's going to come and get all of us. But he is wise in terms of his years in the game. And I love that pickup for them. I also love the fact that they have two motivated, angry former BC Lions, one on offense, one on defense, leading them out the tunnel. They're going to be an exciting team to watch. And Calgary's the defending champ. BC made a huge splash in free agency at the quarterback position. Edmonton made huge splashes in free agency at virtually every position. Sask is one team that people weren't talking about as much.
Should they be?
I think they should be now. The other team that people may think, well, in the West, we may need to have to talk about them a little bit more because of a signing they made this week, is Winnipeg. Chris Matthews coming to the Peg. Boilsters that receiving core gives them a big, big play threat.
He reminds me of, if I use an NFL comparable, I use Michael Irvin
or
Dez Bryant.
Okay.
Because they're similar. They're both Cowboys, but they're similar. You know what he is? He has that ability. You know, when let's say you're playing in the park with your nieces or your nephews, or even better, let's say you're in a pool with your little cousins. And you're playing 500, and they're throwing the ball up, and you know your little cousin's climbing up on your arm and trying to grab you. But when the ball comes, you just shove him out the way and grab the ball. No matter how close he is to you, you're still going to shove him away and get the ball when you need to.
Right. You don't want that separation early. You want that separation late.
Chris Matthews can do that. He no matter what, if you guard him or not, he can mush you. He can mush you out the way and go get the ball with his big strong hands, and that's. Not a massive separator when I watch him, but he's a guy that goes and makes plays in tight quarters, which is, I think that's a skill set that will help. It helps any team, obviously, but when you look at what the Bombers already have, I think that's I would consider that a need.
He also does it in big games, which is why I like this for Winnipeg, because it's been a good regular season game, but do they have the guy that really trusts in the playoffs? And he's like, I mean, in the Super Bowl, he went for four catches on 109 against the Patriots in a loss by the Seahawks, in a loss that they dashed away at the goal line. That's another conversation for another day.
Do you know what his total NFL – so he had 109 in the Super Bowl. You know what his total NFL yards is for his career?
176?
Yeah. That's right. He's a talk about a big game player,
yes,
DJ.
Yes, he is leveraging those big moments.
That's crazy. That's insane. And he played four. It wasn't like he was there for a year. He was in the league for 4 years on and off, not always active, but around the NFL for 4 years and has 100 and what? How many yards total?
76.
76 and 119 have been the big game. I love that.
Big game, Chris.
I'll take that.
But stepped up for Calgary, helping them get to a Grey Cup championship victory. That's why I like him. Is
he's a fit too. You mean Darvin Adams is a slender route runner.
Yep.
And you know, you got
Dembski
and Peterman, Simonize, the two Canadians they drafted last year, Simonize and Peterman. That's just, I think it fits because he's opposite of what they already have.
They have a lot of point guards. They have a couple shooting guards. They just got them a power forward.
They need a Kawhi.
Kawhi could be a whatever you need guard. And lastly, before we end the pod,
Kawhi,
Solly, make sure you find the Sport Clips near you. Solly, we could take care of those dreads, get you some beeswax, make sure the beard is looking good. Sport Clips has you covered.
They turn you away. I think they turn Solly away.
You think so? No, yeah, they can handle it.
Sport Clips might turn Solly
away. No. They can handle Solly. Get that beard taken care of. You know, he's in meetings right now. He's also training as well and got the free agency done. When you got some time, listen, get on the app. Find an available time slot. I know you're busy, Solomon. Get in there. They're going to get that beard taken care of. Yeah, head over to Sport Clips, sportclips.ca, or just come to us, cfl.ca/thewaggle. We're going to let you know where the locations are, where your prices are, and get you booked. And again, download that app. You can do it just from your phone. If you need a cut on the go, we got you. As you mentioned, Kawhi. I don't know if when you get to Sport Clips, they can, you know, make you some tea, maybe some Earl Grey or some chamomile tea. Give you a little hot chocolate, maybe some lozenges, because my guy Davis Sanchez has virtually lost his voice.
Yeah.
Not from his seventh vacation this offseason, but from being at Scotiabank cheering on the Raptors.
That is a fact. It was awesome. My wife played basketball at university, so she likes basketball. She's a fan, but she's not, you know, I think she kind of tricked me when we first started dating. She loved basketball. She would watch it with me. And then as the years have gone on, she kind of tricked me. And now it's like she won't watch it for 2 seconds.
Right.
But so when I go to games, I'll go with my buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what? I'll at least ask her if she wants to come to the game 7. It's on her first Mother's Day, like same as you, our wife's first Mother's Day. And so I offered it to her, and I gave her box A or box B. And box A had a gift in it, and box B had the equivalent to a Raptors, the Raptors game.
Okay.
And I thought for sure I told my buddy he was on standby. And she chose the game. And it was
so
amazing.
What do you do with the box A? Are you bringing it back?
I brought it back. Yeah, I brought it back. I already brought it back. It's
cold,
I'll tell you,
blooded.
Yeah, yes. It's cold on these streets.
Yeah.
It was cool, man. It was great. You know what I say? It's something. That's a day. I'm really glad that we did go together, because that's something that we'll remember for the rest of our lives. We'll remember that game regardless. But the fact that it was on Mother's Day, her first Mother's Day with our daughter, it was cool to be able to bring her to the game and enjoy that together. It was cool.
As a, I won't say former athlete, because like an Olympian, once you're an Olympian, you're always an Olympian. Once you're an athlete, you're always an athlete. Anyone with a body is an athlete, according to Bill Bowerman. As an athlete, 4 seconds left, tie game. You know that the fate of Brett Brown and his coaching, Tobias Harris, what he does in free agency, Jimmy Butler, what he does in free agency, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, can they play together? Kawhi, is he staying? Is he going? Masai Ujiri, you've made this trade, and you don't even get out of the second round. Knowing that so many tangible decisions this offseason, but even just legacies, are riding on this moment, this shot, you appreciate that because you understand the business of sport and the fact that one team is never going to be able to repeat because they're never going to come back again whole the same way. What was that like for you to experience, knowing the amount of pressure that was in that moment?
I don't think I realized it. You realize it until after, and watching and hearing what everyone was saying about it, just the magnitude of it. But I was sitting next to my wife was actually next to the CEO of the Sixers, and I was next to her, so we were right beside.
Can I get a TV timeout? This guy, that's not even a humble brag, because this is just the way this man lives his life. He was not in the Sprite zone. He was not in Jurassic Park. My guy was in Gucci Row sitting beside the Sixers. David Sanchez is going to a sporting event. He is going to a sporting event.
I'm going in.
Yeah.
But I was sitting next to him, and he was it was crazy because he was with his wife, mm-hmm. and he had two of his young girls with him as well. And they were great. We talked to him the whole game. But to listen to him and watch, you talk about pressure.
Yeah.
I was tense as a huge Raps fan. But this man, the CEO, it was pretty crazy. But I didn't realize that all those guys were – I didn't realize Jimmy Butler, free agent. Tobias Harris as well.
Yeah. Butler has a player option. Wow. Tobias Harris is a straight-up free agent. And you talk about pressure – that owner, he lost some money because he would be guaranteed two more home dates in the next round.
Oh, yeah.
So that's millions of dollars gone, yeah. Potentially. Kyle Lowry, if you watch the replay, we talk about bonuses and bonus structure, and you mm-hmm. talked to in the past on this podcast many times about your agent needs to make sure you get that bonus structure right so you get your money right. Kyle Lowry, if the Raptors made the Eastern Conference Finals, which they did obviously when the fourth bounce of the ball went in, he made $500,000.
Ooh.
$500,000. He can still make, if they continue to advance, $1.4 million. But if you see how fast, you go on YouTube right now and watch it. You see how fast Kyle Lowry runs to hug Kawhi Leonard. And there's a woman in the background of the players celebrating, McGlory celebrating. There's one woman in the background celebrating. That woman is Kyle Lowry's wife.
Was it? Okay.
She, I guarantee you, knew how much money was on deck.
He makes $30 million a year. He's not worried about $500.
Anybody could use an extra $500,000.
Yeah, real talk.
We're upgrading the yacht. We're putting an extension on the lake house. Yeah, even if you just take that and invest it, you're feeling good. So basketball fans are feeling good. Fans in Winnipeg are feeling good with their football team.
Tick, tick. You know what that is, DJ?
What's that?
Man, the season's almost here, bro.
It is. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. I don't know what type of basketball conversation we'll be having a week from now, depending on how the Eastern Conference Finals goes. I guarantee, though, that David Sanchez, if he can get some hands on some court sides again, will have no voice.
I was in the crowd. Let's clarify something right now. I wasn't on court side. I was in the crowd.
You were close enough. We had good seats,
but I was in the crowd. Let's be clear. But it's almost that time. And I will say this. I said this yesterday.
If they can bring you sushi and champagne to your seat, you got a good seat.
Fair enough. I said this yesterday. Walking my dog yesterday. I said watching the NBA Finals or NBA playoffs reminds me of CFL training camp because I always watch the NBA Finals during camp.
Yes.
So it's telling me it's getting closer, and I'm starting to get excited for the season. Both sides, but this West is going to be insane. To what you said, the Solly and Manny thing. Now they already have a natural rivalry, Edmonton and BC, because of all everything's gone on between those two teams. Now go ahead and add Saskatchewan to the mix. Calgary is Calgary. I mean, it's just Winnipeg is didn't hurt themselves in the draft and basically got everybody back. It's going to be a beast.
I can't wait. And I can't wait to see what crazy storylines come out between now and this time next week. It's been an unpredictable offseason, to say the least. Thanks for listening. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, favorite, and just tell a friend. Also, go get your haircut. Sport Clips. This has been the Waggle Podcast. Peace.